Welcome to the Raise Up Mindset Podcast with your hosts, Charlie and Athena Grimm.
Hey guys, season two, episode four. Thank you for, just want to thank you for joining raiseupmindset.com or any other format that you're getting this on. That is a way to find us all the time. And if you're looking at this on one of your social media platforms, we appreciate it. If you'd like to share it, we'd even appreciate more because the more people this gets out to, the better. So.
Absolutely.
My name is Charlie Grimm, and this is my lovely
wife/partner,
Athena.
Yeah. We are business partners together. We've been in business for almost 3 decades, and it has definitely been an interesting road. And this podcast has all of these stories around how we've navigated through our business, our family, our life, and we're so happy that you joined us. So
and you can tell this is not really scripted because we're just kind of fly off the cuff in how we do things and how we are in here. And this is kind of how we are in real life. So I want you to understand that there's not somebody here pointing direct or go or stop or go or something like this. It's just who we are. So
yeah. And it's really important for us to have that sincerity and this alignment with who we are.
So this is really a PG / little wire PG. Sometimes I'll hit like a S word or something like that, like shit or something like that. So hopefully it doesn't offend you.
We're in transportation and logistics. There are other pieces of technology that are available to assist every industry. It's just a matter of being open and looking for answers to situations that you're solving, or it's imagining where you're going to be in the next few years, and then what do I need to like onboard in order for this to become possible?
You see the her light up in her eyes when you talk about technology. Like we're probably 3 minutes past this one, but you know, no. But you could see the passion that she has into it, and you can see some of the passion I have on my side. So definitely, the technology passion is on her side that she loves all this stuff and just sees the and I see it. I just don't have the excitement about the technology part of this, but I'm glad that we have it all. So again. You know, knowing what you get passionate about, what you don't, and what you're at. I mean, she dives straight into the deep end of the pool. I wade in the kiddie pool on this area. I'm good enough to know about it, but I don't dive in like she does. So
I'm not the implementer, but I understand the concept, and then I can see the bigger vision of how it's going to be this benefit to the group and how it's going to solve these higher things that we're looking to solve. And I also can see how everyone is connected within the organization. And so I know how this piece of technology is being used within the group so that if we make a tweak to it, it's going to affect this person and this person. And so we need to be mindful about that tweak. You really need someone in the organization that is the innovator. And really there is usually this visionary and then there's the innovator or the person who's connecting the vision to the actual deliverables. And it's fun, just like it's fun for Charlie to shop for car options and colors and what's the latest and all of that. Like, that's not really something that I enjoy. I'm like, great, it's really nice.
I like making the deal.
Yeah.
I'm not the person that likes to go out and pick out all the things. I just like making the deal, get it in there and get new stuff in here and make it look nice. And that's my, I guess, my high of that, of the fun part of that.
Yeah. And when it comes to the deals, like I need the service. I need the product or I'm desiring to acquire this. I don't want to go back and forth 50 times on a deal.
And we don't anymore.
Let's just get the money off the table so we can all get back to doing what we do.
Amen.
So I would say if we were going to kick down one of these other questions about tech-forward leadership, what would you say is one of the key pieces of overcoming the resistance to change? Like, I can think about, like, we had this client. And this isn't tied to technology per se, but it is an example of how we were overcoming the resistance to change. And so there was a particular client that we had that it seemed like the staff was almost sabotaging the contract. Not our staff, but the client staff. So you had leadership. And then you had the people that worked under leadership for this company. And they hired us to do a service for them. And the leadership wanted us to do it this way. And we were on board with that. But the staff wanted it the way it's always been. And so there were these little underminements of this change. And some of it was ridiculous. But we did overcome that. It took a while. But what are your thoughts on overcoming this resistance to change?
I have no idea what this one you're speaking about because it's not there, but we're not going to mention any names. But I think we've had several clients like this.
Okay.
So I think that you're right on all those things. Overcoming resistance, I mean, it's the partnership. It's the partnership with our employees. It's the partnership with our vendors. It's the partnership with them. What is best for you, and then what is best for us? Sometimes what's best for you is not best for us. Sometimes what's best for us, you guys are not in line with there. So can we meet in the middle where we can have this common partnership that it makes sense all the way around? And technology, I think, does that. I mean, I think technology lets us get to that bridge for them. Like, we've given access to some of our clients and passwords for them to get into our system, be able to see things that are in there so they can make sense of it, so they can bring it down to their membership, because for some reason in their world, we couldn't get access to their stuff because A, we're not an employee, we're a vendor. And then the other side of us is like, we have access to our own technology and we can give grant access to you. And we want you
account,
to understand.
Not like to our
not to everything.
Systems,
no,
but to
it's,
their
it's
account.
Their account to let them see what's going on. The same as we can give somebody a location device where our driver is going back and forth for them for their trip.
Yes.
The technology lets us do this. So overcoming resistance, I think, is just sometimes reading the book to the end and make sure that they understand not the first three pages is the whole book. We have to let them know this is what the final outcome will be, and this is only going to improve our service with you. And it's going to improve our service with you.
Well, and then if you have others who are part of that organization, so like, for instance, this example that I was thinking of was the leadership was on board. They wanted all of what we were explaining to them, the service offered. But their team, they had their own communication breakdown with their team, and their team just looked at us as, oh, you're just changing things and you're making our life harder. And we really had to have a season of perseverance. We chose to have a season of perseverance with that client. And we stayed aligned with the leadership team, and we committed to helping them do this hard right steer of the ship. Now, Charlie mentioned that there are people that we've had conversations with where this is works for us, this doesn't work for you. And that hasn't been something that we've overcame. That's just something that we've decided, well, this is no longer something that makes sense for us.
Sure.
And it's not necessarily firing a customer. It's more like you both are coming to the realization that, hey, we just no longer align in this area, and that's okay. And there's nothing really to overcome.
I agree. Pioneering in your field with tech. Hi. What is all these tech questions? I mean,
well,
like, somebody
the episode
wrote this.
Is called Tech Forward Leadership.
Somebody really went to this thing. You're right. Tech forwarding, leadership, investment, innovations, pioneer in your field. So again, you guys know that Athena has her own podcast. This would be all perfect things for her because this is a really...
I don't have my own podcast. This is the podcast.
Well, you have your own teaching.
I do
workshops.
Raise Up Mindset workshop series.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Again, this is not my best field here. So
you're doing wonderful.
I understand. I know, but I'm having to really dig into my DOS memory to talk about, like you asked me, what happened when we decided to do this 20 years ago. I mean, like, yeah, that's a far fetch for me sometimes. Like, I got to first, second, third grade are gone to remember fourth grade now to get anything else new. So
well, and guys, this is something to keep in mind. This has been a journey for both of us. And these are areas where Charlie absolutely remembers where things were brought into play. He just didn't have to be part of everything. And that's
Amen.
Really what we're preaching here is, if it's not your lane, you don't have to be a part of every single thing in your business.
Choose. Like, you know, you're the owner or the CEO or your partners with your other ones. Tell your partner where you want to be and where you don't want to be. I mean, I'll use... there's lots of other people I can mention in our industry that chooses to be part of this part or they choose not to be part of this part, but their business are super successful because they chose not to be in what considered they're not their lane. Or I would say, like, I don't want to be in that shitty position to be able to do this part because I don't like this. I mean, I would be miserable. And then where would be my tone with the employees for the rest of the day? Where would their tone be for the rest of their supervisors and managers and other people? So pioneer your field with technology. What does it mean to be a pioneer in your industry? Well, I can tell you, I am kind of passionate about this because we feel like we're some of the pioneers in our technology, in our field, in the transportation logistics world. I mean, like, we really take that on. And people are like, how do you do this? I'm like, let me give you my wife's telephone number and you can ask her, because like I can tell you the 60% field, but she's going to get in the nitty gritty. Like, she's going to be able to tell you like when what monitors to buy, what Google Assistants to put into, what they're going to do in there. So I know enough to get them to the right spot, but I'm okay with that because like I don't need to be knowing like this is the Google room 207 that you have to buy and this is the part you have to be in, then you have to pay $12.99 per person to be in this. I'm like again, my system overload with between this and EMS and the ambulance department, everything else that we do is like I want to be into my lane. So again. Yes.
And, you know, I think one thing that you could speak on about pioneering is when we originally decided to sign up for PAX. PAX was a new company. It was championing this idea of creating a standard for our industry. And, like, when we met Bruce and he, like, did the whole thing, and I was like, yes, this is absolutely something that we need to consider.
Well, there's a different story to that. So,
okay. So
Bruce, we love. Him and his wife just came and visited. Max, their son, came up and visited us and spent a week up here, 10 days or whatever it was. And it was great. We loved having them. We talk almost all the time. They miss Alaska. But Bruce pitched me in Arizona when you were in the 2020 group. And Bruce came down and explained PAX to all of us in the very beginning. And when Arthur and Kathy used to run the 2020 group, Spinning Wheels, a lot of our time was brought by vendors and other outside people that were in the industry to try to help and put this thing in. And we were not small at the time. We weren't huge. We were big as we are now. But like they were trying to tell us how to uniform the whole entire industry and to be in one system
creating
of how
standard.
Creating a standard for chauffeurs and for programs and systems and things like this. And I was looking at this guy, I'm like, what does he know that we don't already know? You know, we're already in Alaska and stuff like that. So I didn't really, and Bruce, I love you, you know that, but I didn't embrace it as well as I did now because I wasn't in the same mindset at that time. So I was in a different mindset. Like, you know, we're doing a great job where we're at and we're killing our numbers and we're doing where we're at. What's he going to do to offer this? That was my narrow mindset at the time. I have a total different aspect towards PAX now and totally different. I think they're a great system. I love to know that another company that we're subbing people out to uses PAX because PAX definitely has a... It teaches a standard and then you kind of take that standard and you expand that standard. So I do believe in it. So I'm probably one of Bruce's best salespeople when we're at things because I'll come by the booth and I'll hear somebody talking and we'll start talking. He's like, you use PAX? I'm like, yeah, we do. And they'll ask us the size of our company, how much we're involved in what we do and what we do. And I can speak intelligent to it because we've had them come up and visit us and talk to us and they've helped innovate systems for us and helped us expand it. And so it's great to work with them. And I only bring up Bruce's name because he was just here a couple of weeks ago. But again, in the beginning, it was a sales pitch. And, you know, and when you're selling salespeople, we're like the biggest critics of it. And so he did a good job. A lot of people use them, but I just wasn't interested at that time there. But it doesn't mean you're not going to be interested later. Like, we're a full in PAX person. We work with all their team members. We work with everybody.
James is probably the key.
James came up and like James, you know, it's his business partner now. And James used to be an employee of PAX. Has done a great job, and James was basically just came up and helped us redesign our CDL program and work for it, where we got certified from the state to be a CDL program. It again, we were their beta tester. We flew them up here. We had them there. We had them gave a condo, a vehicle. We let them stay in our lake house. I mean, we treated them like family, like they are. They're our industry family, and him and his wife came up and they had a lovely time, and we were able to accomplish the goals that we were looking for. But that partnership has let it happen. If somebody else would have probably called them and said, hey, this is what our plan is, I don't know if the outcome would have been the same. But our partnership now is really great, and I can call those guys anytime, and they'll always answer our phone calls. Again, the partnership helps with the technology piece. It helps with everything else that we do.
So. Yeah, and I think you can hear this common thread that comes through in the way that we operate is it's in service to the whole. It's not just what can I get, or this mindset around, well, what are you going to do for me?
Yeah. Give more and you receive more. When you give and give and give, usually you'll receive, but you're not looking for the receiving out of it. Like, we have a common rule. Don't give what you can't give. Like, don't let somebody borrow $100,000 that if you let them borrow that 100 grand, expect you're never going to get the 100 grand back. Like, don't give what you can't give. So again, when we're giving out to other people, we want to make sure that we're giving them what we can afford to give. And we're giving people advice where to go. We're trying to give them the most solid advice that we can as a partner or as a friend or whatever else it is. Like, I get phone calls every day about where to go and where to buy stuff and what to do. So it's nice that I can call a guy. And then if I don't have it, I can call somebody else. They'll tell me to call a guy.
Yes.
So when Athena says we're only twice removed around this town through BAC or whatever else it is, that's 100% true. If I don't know somebody, I can call somebody else to get a phone number. If I don't know that number, I can call one of my other
buddies.
Well,
there's like 2 degrees of BAC. There's like half a degree of Charlie.
No, I'm good in the city of Anchorage and the state, some of the Alaska, but you put me outside of here and it's a little bit different. But, you know, our partnerships with anywhere else, and if you guys don't know this, that we can book a trip anywhere in the United States or if not the world for you. I mean, BAC is just not Alaska bound. We can book anywhere.
Thanks to technology.
Because of technology, I'm able to book a car in Italy for you. I can book a car in Arizona for you. We just had some friends that were just down in Seattle and they were at a concert. And for them to get a taxi, Uber, black car, whatever else, it was a 2.5 hour wait. And they were, you know, their hotel was halfway across the town. And I get that phone call that night of the concert, that day, and says, Charlie, I need a car to pick us up and drop us off and pick us back up. And I'm like, on a concert in Seattle that's sold out. And so I make a phone call and Yuri, thank you. I call Yuri up and S-E-R-T, am I saying that correctly?
Close
yeah.
Enough.
And called him up and told him, hey, well, we need a car for tonight. No problem, Charlie. They were sold out. They didn't have a car, but they made it happen because he's our guy down there that helped us out with it. And he's helped us out with lots of occasions.
Because of the relationship.
Yep, building that relationship. And according to he already had booked his buses with us that next week. So that relationship was able to make it happen. We did it for a friend up here that had they needed their family and friends were going out there. And he's like, dude, that car was like one block from the stadium. Like, we didn't have to go wait 2.5 hours to get a car to there and then be irritated after having a long day. And so, again, technology lets us help us in our field.
Well, and something I want you to think about is when you have this idea of it's not just only about you, then you get curious about who else is in the room. And when you start to get curious about that other person, then you start to learn interesting things about them that then you're like, oh, you actually do this too? Well, I didn't know that. Well, that's really good to know later. And then they're getting curious about you and what you're doing. And then the next thing you know, you're in this reciprocal connection point where all of a sudden you're stepping out of this mindset of, I don't have enough, or I have to hold everything tight because this is a scarce piece, and you start to open a little bit more, and then the possibilities really start to open. And so it's a common thread.
I think we got that one pretty right, huh? How are we doing?
We're getting close.
Okay. Future proofing your business.
So bringing this home to future proofing.
Well, yeah, I'm just looking at some of the questions. I think some of the questions we had that were asked, or we've kind of covered those in some of the other questions that we've had too. There's one small one that we can jump onto too, but future-proofing your business. I mean, like, emerging technology, if you're not in the technology area, like AI, all this other stuff, I mean, it's going to be interesting what job sectors are really going to be affected by AI. And I'm not going to tell you that you're not going to have a job or something like that, but you better be looking at, like, if you're going to college for a degree or something like you're going to do, look at what that degree is going to look like in 5 or 10 years from now. Like, if you're getting something in like AI can totally take over and do, you might reconsider this, and you might be something like, okay, I'm going to do this job with AI technology that's going to make this happen, like, because that's going to be the future. And when you're future-proofing your business, I mean, how does that look like from 5 to 10 years from now? I mean, the one thing about AI is it's not going to be able to open the door. It's not going to be able to lift luggage. It's not going to be able to do the customer service greeting there unless they start innovating robots. It's going to be that. And it's not going to be that personal touch.
Yeah.
So one thing that I know that we have in our industry is personal touch. How do we be able to have that personal touch with a person? How can we greet that person? How can we make them feel 100% like they are getting that that customer service in there? So that's one thing I see in our industry that we're going to be able to do differently than other people. There might be self-driving cars, there might be all this other stuff, but if your mother needs to get picked up and she's 75 years old and has 3 suitcases, like, that car's not going to be able to pick up your car, the luggage, and put it inside the car and be able to take care of it. Or if there's an emergency that happens in the car, what its expectations are. So I think in some ways, our industry is going to change all the time too, and we're looking how we can integrate it. You'll take, for instance, like one of the things we do is wheelchair service. Now you go through the Seattle airport and you see this lady in a wheelchair or a gentleman in a wheelchair, and they're going back, and we walked behind it to see how long it was going to take. And literally it takes like 2 or 3 times the lawn to get to the point they're going to, because
you're talking about the robot chairs?
The robot chairs, yeah, the automatic wheelchairs. Like, you follow those robot chairs and they go in there. If it comes within a 6-foot range of anybody in Seattle, it slows itself or come to a complete stop. Well, if you've been through the Seattle airport and you realize that there's no place in that airport that doesn't have a 6-foot range of it, like, your time to get to C3 to N4 might be 25, 30 minutes on the regular time. Now it might be an hour and a half. So
exactly.
What is that going to look like? And it's always evolving. So I'm sure in some way it's going to evolve. Like, we're going to have its own lane that you can't be in, and it's going to rail itself there. But it starts with the innovation. It starts with the technology. It starts with a trial, and how can we figure it out from here? So how do you future-proof your company? Make sure your company is something that's going to be around in 5 or 10 years that's going to be future-proof. I mean, like, I don't know if AI is going to take care of landscaping, but it's sure going to take care of landscaping design. I don't know if we're going to have somebody else going to go out and mow the lawn, but I mean, I'm sure that there's going to be something that's going to show you how much time it's going to take to mow the lawn and what degree you're supposed to put the mower at and stuff like this. So again, you want to be in an industry that, if you're looking to be in not the technology world, but you're looking to be relevant in a job like painting homes or doing something like that, you're using that technology to best capitalize on the money that you can make, how much wasted you have, how much time should be on this job, what should be there. So
absolutely.
use those AIs for that technology part of it, and only make your company better.
Yeah, we have a new housekeeper at our Big Lake home.
Love her. She's great.
And I walked her through after I had gotten to know her style after a couple of visits. And I said, look, meet me at the house and I'm going to walk through the house with you and I'm going to show you some of my expectations. And so I basically trained her how to go to the memos on her iPhone and then how to record the memo. And then also when the memo is done, how to hit the dictation button so that she can get all the text. So basically we went room to room with what it was that I was looking for and some of the nuances to that house. Then I told her, take that dictation, drop that into ChatGPT or Gemini or Copilot, whichever AI tool you're using, and ask it to create a checklist by room for that particular residence. And she was blown away. She's like, I had no idea that it was just this simple. And I'm like, absolutely. So before you leave my house, look at your checklist. And you can create this for every single client that you're doing business with. But something just as simple as, I needed her. She's part of our team of success. We don't prefer to do some of the work that she's doing. But we value a clean house. We value hygiene. We value these things. And so what is it that you need to start considering that's creating some friction in your life that you know that if you just embrace technology or if you just decided that you're no longer doing these things, that it's actually future-proofing everything about your lifestyle? Because future-proofing isn't just about embracing technology. It's about, how can I decide what I want for the future in this creative mode, if you're even able to get there. Some of you are going to have to like take some of those 3-day vacations to get to where you actually can imagine, gosh, if money wasn't an issue, what do I actually want? And then start making steps towards that direction. And sometimes it's, hey, I'm buying the biggest iPhone with the biggest memory because I know I'm that person that keeps my iPhone for 5 years. And so it's like, I'm going to future-proof for the next 5 years that I don't need to buy another phone. Or I'm buying a big enough memory in my computers at the office that I'm future-proofing for the next 3 operating system updates. And also, I'm expecting this equipment to last 4 years total. So it doesn't just have to be technology that you're future-proofing per se. There's aspects that you can be future-proofing just by like noticing what it is that could be possible on the next levels.
I agree. One of the last ones, I just think we'd just take a minute or two on, and I think, well, you might have a little more time in this one than I will, but building versus custom programs and existing tools. Like I think we've used both, and I think we've built some different programs that we've used within our system because we couldn't find something. But there's usually a platform that comes close to what you're doing, and you can use that platform. Like
yes.
One of the things that we do is baggage claim delivery, and one of the things we do for some of our airlines that we work with. And we use Limo Anywhere to do that. It's booking a trip. So if it's a bag or a person, they can do it. And then when we told Limo Anywhere about it, they're like, well, you're kidding me. Like, why are we treating anywhere? It's a pickup. It's a cost. It's a trip. It's a destination. Time picked up. Time dropped off. Everything like that. All the same details for it. So, I mean, we've used that system in several different ways that we thought they could expand that out to some different ones and say this is a baggage claim delivery system that wouldn't be like there. So there's all their upstairs systems. Athena has used like JotForms and other ones that we've used that when there that we've created massive different ones that we could use in there. And to our son's credit, Ryan, I mean, like he was our person that was our technology person in the day. And then now he's back working for us again, helping us with the company. Is like he has a passion about technology. More so that like we'll tell him, hey, we have this, and this. What can you do? And he'll do a little research. And he's like, I found this program that we can get for, excuse my language, found this program we could get for like $199 per year, or I got a dealer's access for this and I can get it for this price, which totally makes sense for us. But again, we've seen people like there's another person in our industry that's in Alaska that created their whole entire bus platform system for their company, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and had struggles with it all the way through because they thought it was best for the way they could do it. But they could have probably used one of these other platforms and had somebody do some add-ons to it or some things that would make more sense for their system. And they could have been, you know, maybe $5,000 or $10,000 a year they would have spent on this whole entire program, and they'll never be able to recoup out of there. But it was best for them at their time and system. When they looked at it, they didn't see it that they could make the additions and changes in there. So again, build versus custom program things. Like when you custom program and you're paying that person to do that, that guy's a high ticket item. And I have never seen somebody custom build it, but I've seen TVs and movies on it, and it doesn't seem like an easy lift. Like there's not like you're when you're putting ZEA 74213-7254 and then put a whole bunch of letters behind it, and it, all of a sudden your computer reads what the hell it is. You're not putting that on a person that doesn't know what they're doing, you know. So,
well, I think you made a great point. Is we've chose most of the time to receive what's already built, and then we've kind of morphed the use once we've understood the program on how we can like maximize the use of it. And this day and age, technology is so inexpensive compared to how it used to be that it doesn't make sense to be reinventing the wheel. Yeah, are there some things that you need to consider around, well, this isn't exactly the way I want it. Okay, but can you live with it? Is it really that big of a deal? Do you want to drop into a rabbit hole of becoming a program designer or consistently in meetings all the time because you're designing a program when this one is going to get you 95% there?
Yeah.
And you're not going to devote hours and hours and hours to it. And so that is another aspect of just like deciding how is technology going to play a role in my business? And that's another aspect of like, there's plenty of guys that I've met that they are so engulfed in all the technology offers. When do you ever have time to run your business? When do you have time to spend time with your family if you're just constantly in a portal of technology? So these are all great things that Charlie and I have brought up around technology from two completely different perspectives and from two completely different vantage points within the organization. But you can see how we've met in the middle like we both understand the value of technology and where it's taken us and where it's taking us. And we're grateful. And that's really what we want you to see.
Yeah. Don't do what you're not good at and do what you're good at.
Absolutely. So again, find us at raiseupmindset.com. You can check out previous episodes to the podcast. All season one is loaded there. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Like and share it. If you like it and you think somebody else could use this, share it, because we want to share that technology with other people too.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.